now you're going to bring it up and just put salt on the wound?
Will you stop yelling at me?
No!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
No, no, you're making me nervous, but seriously.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
No, listen.
Is there a question?
You're making me nervous.
Diagnosis.
Uh-oh! And a foul!
Prognosis.
Well, that's good.
Osmosis.
And they'll reset. Nowitzki again for the lead. Bang!
It's the Doctor, T.C. Martin.
Glad to have you here. Thunderous Thursday edition, T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. Talking Vegas Golden Knights. I want to hear from the people of Las Vegas today. 876-1340. I want to know how entrenched you are with this thing that we got going on. Could be the Stanley Cup Finals. Two wins away as the Knights win last night. Two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals. 876-1340. I want you to jump on board. Talk to me today. How are you feeling? Do you actually feel this could be happening? Winning the Stanley Cup. How has it changed your perspective on the sport of hockey? How do you feel about living in Las Vegas today? I want to hear from you. First segment, 876-1340. The phone number. First-time callers love to hear from you as well. Tracy Murray will join us a little bit later on as we talk NBA playoffs. The Golden State Warriors, they were dominating in Game 1 last night. Not so much. Houston dominating in Game 2. They win 127-105. So now we have a series out west tied at one game apiece. And then tonight, or actually not till Saturday now, Boston takes on Cleveland as the Celtics have won the first two games. Game three doesn't take place till Saturday. Got some thoughts about that, too. But we're used to playing every other day, and we have no basketball tonight or tomorrow. We got to wait for the weekend because the NBA says, hey, that's when we have the biggest viewership. Money taking over. Well, it's been that way for a while. We know that, right? But I still like to have some basketball tonight because I know that I can count on hockey, that we've got hockey every night. And if you're in a series like the Golden Knights and the Winnipeg Jets, you know you're playing every other night. Caps Lightning every other night. So kudos to the NHL for that. But the NBA, they're acting like it's round one again. You know, round one, you play on a Monday. You don't play again until a Thursday or Friday. They're doing this in the conference final.
Yeah, well, I really lately have lost a ton of interest in the NBA. I mean, the athletes are amazing. The games are always good. But honestly, I don't care who wins. It's like I've gotten to the point because they stretch these things out so much. I just don't care.
We had a good rotation going. We did up until now.
Well, even
it was
even,
rolling.
But even that, it's like, you know what? There's probably four or five too many teams that make the playoffs because, let's be honest, there's the seven and eight seeds are garbage. Usually, the sixth seed out of the East is garbage. And
let's be honest, the top two or three, that's it.
Yeah, especially, you know what? Not in the West. In the East, it is. And you know, I understand these things have a way of evening out over the course of time. But you know, stretching it out. It's like I just can't take it serious. I can't take the league serious when they continue to do this. Look, I don't want to be watching the NBA Finals on Father's Day, which is where we're heading to, the way they stretch these things out. The NBA playoffs, they could already be in the finals. Think about that. But the amount of time they and then the guys cry about the rest and you know what? And I hate to sound get off my lawn guy because I'm not. I mean, I'm only in my late 30s, but you know, you never saw Jordan taking days off. Larry Bird basically was essentially paralyzed, and he would go out there and play because his back was so bad. And you never heard him complaining about, oh, well, you know, I got to take a day off because I'm sore. No, Larry Bird never took a day off.
But that's Magic
Johnson never took a day off.
But that doesn't have anything to do with that. This is all about television.
Well, that's what
it is. Television has become so big in dictating all of our sports, when we play them, where we play them, what time we play them. It's like, oh, we don't want to play on a Thursday. Oh, we can't play on a Friday. For heaven forbid, give us that Saturday night time slot and a Sunday afternoon time slot. Or late Sunday afternoon. That's what they want. And well, that's why we're getting these games pushed back till Saturday and Sunday. That's why.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's like they know what they're doing because what are they going up against on Saturday nights? Reruns of Cops?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you're going against on Sunday, right?
Cornhole.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, but even like NBC, right? Like Thursday night, you're not going to put the NBA Finals up against what's on Thursday night. It's good TV on NBC.
Well, once we get to the finals, you are going to see primetime games.
Yeah.
But
well, they're all primetime. Yeah. It's just a matter of what day they're on.
All right. So we'll talk to Tracy Murray about that. Dave Filipovich will be joining us, the Air Force coach. Coaches versus Cancer, the Las Vegas Golf Classic taking place Monday and Tuesday out at Shadow Creek. So we will talk to Dave about that. Great guy, great coach over there at Air Force as well. But last night, Vegas Golden Knights win 4-2. You know what we talked about yesterday? The team that wins game number three, what happens, right? If you win game number three in the conference final or the semifinals, you're more than likely going to win. It's 81%. The record is 35-8. The winner of game three, that's right, wins the series. So 35 out of 43 times, the Golden Knights are in pretty good shape. Played a fantastic game last night. Jonathan Marchessault, two goals. The first coming 35 seconds before you could even sit down and get your popcorn ready. And then James Neal with the response after Winnipeg tied it up at 1-1. When they tied it up, I go, okay, we've got ourselves a hockey game now. And then, boom, forget about it. 12 seconds later, Neal comes with the score. And, you know, Marchessault set a record last night. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I know. First guy in the history of the NHL to score a goal in the first and last minute of a playoff game. Amazing.
Pretty cool.
It's amazing to think that's never been done before.
All right. We're going to go to the phones. I want your thoughts about all of this. 876-1340, 876-1340. Let's talk to George. George, good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I'm just calling, telling you about something that hasn't really gotten a lot of press, and that is, a lot of you know that that Las Vegas has a significant Latino community. Being a Latino myself, you know, it's amazing to see, you know, people who haven't spoken English for more than 5 years already memorize all of these names, Marchessault, Fleury, Carlson, you know, to just be incredibly enamored by a sport that they have never, ever seen before last year. So it's a really awesome thing to see in this community. I really hope that it continues forward even when, you know, eventually if Vegas, you know, has a couple of off years, you know, when we lose our better players. I feel like this is something that's here to stay in the city of Las Vegas.
George, or may I call you Jorge? That is a very good point, because we talked about this from the very, very beginning. How are Las Vegans in general, who, especially if you're a West Coast-based here in Las Vegas, you're not really going to understand hockey, but you're going to go. They have the honeymoon period, and then all of a sudden the team gets good. Now you're starting to learn the rules. You're starting to know who the players are. And let's face it, you know, predominantly it's either European or Canadian players, not a whole bunch of Americans. And it's a melting pot here. We know that. And for the Hispanic community to get behind that, I think it is fantastic. And we know from our own building here, Jesus Lopez, who does a fantastic job, has never called any hockey whatsoever. I think he did soccer and he did boxing, and that was it. And he had to learn it. And he does a fantastic job on our sister station, ESPN Deportes, calling these games. And he says, just like you did, that this is really galvanized the Mexican-American public here in Las Vegas, and you hit the nail on the head. I think it's fantastic, and it's amazing. I could not have seen that coming.
Thank you very much. Yeah, my mother, she was an immigrant from Mexico. She came here back in 1988, and she's only ever loved soccer until, you know, last year. You know, she's a widow, so she's basically fallen in love with Fleury.
Of course. Why not? I get it.
How can you not, you know?
George, I appreciate your thoughts and your phone calls, and thanks for listening, my friend.
Just to really touch on that, too, my ex-girlfriend, she is from El Salvador, and she still talks to me about the team, and she said, you know, the other night at work, I walked into the break room, and they had the basketball game on. She said, I told them to change the channel. This is Vegas. She's from El Salvador, and she's making them put the Golden Knights games on in the break room in her office because she's like, look, this is our team. You know, I have a friend from Brazil. He's got a jersey. He goes to the games. He's always posting on social media how much he loves the Knights. You know, it's really amazing. And I saw a woman last night at the game. They were holding up signs. I'm from Guam. but I support the Golden Knights. Guam, it's an island with like 50,000 people halfway between Japan and Hawaii.
But that would probably, to be fair, only happen in Las Vegas because we are a melting pot. I can't see that happening in Carolina and even Minnesota and places like that, you know?
But I think the way that this team has just taken over this city, I mean, I've been here since 99. I have never seen anything like this, what I've seen here. And I wasn't here when UNLV was really good. I was here for a Sweet 16 run. And I've never seen anything like this. Yeah. I mean, this city, go to the practice facility, and there's 500 people in the stands. You know, you look around the NHL, there's nobody there at the other practice facilities. And the people in Winnipeg were really passionate and really cool. But I've never seen anything like this. And like George said, you know, the Latino community, and credit to Jesus, because he predicted that. He said Mexicans will like the game because it's fast,
right?
And there's some physical contact in it, and it's a lot like soccer in that, look, you can be entertained without having to see a 7-goal game.
Right. All right. We'll get back to the one thing that you said when you started out that statement. It was a little perplexing. You said ex-girlfriend. What happened? She dumped you?
Yes.
I got to hear that story.
Yes,
she kicked you to the curb?
Yes, my ex-girlfriend, who is 13 years younger than me, maybe she got tired of being with the old guy, so...
got Grecian formula. You know that, don't you?
I know. You know what it is? I think it's when I started growing the playoff beard, she realized, hey, you know what? He looks a lot older than what he really is.
See, you played it wrong, my friend. Let's go to Al. Al, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, you know, I've kind of like been a little bit through this before when I'm from Miami, and when the Florida Panthers came into the league, I think in their third year, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, but it was in their third year, and they weren't actually good enough to win it. I think these guys are actually good enough to win it, and the reason I think so is when the Panthers came into the league, they were one of two or three teams picking. And I think that this team was the only team picking, and they did a hell of a job in putting together the team. And these guys, I really think, have the talent, and of course they got the goalie, to win it all. You know, I really do, and this team's been amazing. You know, they've all year long surprised us by coming back and doing what they always do, and that is play hard out there and kick some butt. And let me tell you, the other day I went to court, and I'll tell you how crazy this sound has gotten. I went to court, and the judge had on a nice shirt, a jersey, and I thought that was pretty interesting. And most of the lawyers got a kick out of it and stuff like that, but it was amazing. That's how far this, you know, community has gone to support this team. And it's, the amazing thing is they can win it. I think this series. I think if they win this series, I think the next one's going to be no problem at all.
Yeah,
George. You know, it's just amazing what has gone on, and the fact that it's the first year. But I think the uniqueness of it is the fact that, you know.
All right, Al, I appreciate the call. You're breaking up a little bit there. And just to jump on what Al was talking about there, I remember when the Panthers came into Florida, and there was a lot of skepticism. I had it myself. Like, you're going to put hockey in that community in Florida? That's probably not going to work. Because that was one of the first ones going into a warm weather city, an area like that. But here's the thing that Las Vegas and Florida, they have transplants. Look how many... Hockey actually worked there in Florida because you had so many people who came from New York or came from Ohio or Pennsylvania, and they were used to hockey. And again, yeah, they had some success there for a while. In Las Vegas, I think a lot of it has to do, too, with just the entertainment capital of the world, the excitement, and it is totally different inside that arena than Tampa Bay. The game... The atmosphere, everything is different, and people love going because it's like you're going to an event. You're not going to a game, you know, to a man that people will tell you who go to these games. Really, the hockey is great, but it's the rock and roll show. It's the Cirque du Soleil show. It's all of that stuff. It's the lighting. It's the music pumping. It feels like a club in there. It feels like a major show. And then when you're good on top of that, wow. That's what it's all about.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is a lot of people compare it to Nashville, you know, because before last year, Nashville had never really made a deep run into the NHL playoffs. They'd made the playoffs a few times, but last year, obviously going to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I heard a conversation up in Winnipeg that people were saying the difference between Nashville and Vegas, Nashville was a little bit unsure how to perceive this, you know, like how do we, you know, do this? Whereas the people in Vegas have embraced it right away. Like Nashville was a little unsure of themselves at first because it was the first time for them. But Vegas, I think they're used to being in the spotlight. People move here for a reason. You know, people move to Nashville for a reason too, but Nashville is more of SEC country. You have to deal with, you know, the football teams there and the SEC. Also, obviously, the NFL team. But, you know, here, this is all that's in right. town as far as Major League sports. And so, but because we have so many transplants here, people just, they understand what's going on.
In those markets, in Carolina and in Phoenix, in those places, and we talked about Florida, you know, that went there too. Even when the North Stars, you know, got rid of the North and they went down to Dallas to be the Stars, there were some people there had some reservations. Well, I'm not so sure about this, but it definitely has worked here. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Slappy. What's up, Slap?
Hey, I want to make one prediction. I mean, this might sound crazy since they won game three and I heard you talk about records or whatever, percentages or whatever. I think this is the most, this upcoming game is the biggest game right now. I think if Winnipeg wins game four, they win the series. If Vegas wins game four, they win the series. I think this is the biggest game of all because I think if they go 2-2, I think Winnipeg wins the series because they have two home games. And I just think Vegas has gotten very lucky in a sense of, especially the last night, or I believe. And I think that it comes down to Winnipeg having home ice advantage.
No, you're right. And like I said before, I want to see somebody win two games in a row because everyone gets high. They're all high in Winnipeg after game one. Then the Golden Knights come back and win game two. And then, boom, the Golden Knights now win two games in a row. It's like they have the advantage. But you're right. That goes all out the window if Winnipeg wins tomorrow night. Now it's 2-2. Three games remaining, two of them up in Winnipeg. Game four is huge tomorrow. Well,
I just want to follow that up, too, and say, because I've been around the team all season, and this is a pretty bold prediction. If the Vegas Golden Knights win tomorrow night, they will win the Stanley Cup.
Bold prediction. But again, who's to argue? They're the favorite right now. Let's remember that. They are the favorite of all teams. Whoever comes out of these, they are the favorite to win it all.
I think the winner of this series is going to win the Cup.
Let's go to Ray. Ray, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Ray? Ray?
Hey, good show. I don't want to sound like a downer. I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh, and I've been here since '93, so I'm rooting for Vegas now, but Pittsburgh is still my home. I just want to say I think the Penguins made a bad decision to let Fleury go, especially the way he's playing now. I understand that they had to do it because of financial reasons, but I support Vegas, and my wife's favorite player is James Neal, and it's like, come on, man. But it's all good. You know, I know hockey. I agree with the last caller. I think the next game here is going to be the most important game because if Vegas does win, it'll be up 3-1, and that's pretty much going to be it. If Jets win, it's going to be 2-2. And I think it's going to go seven games myself. But I'm happy. A lot of people here that I know don't really know hockey that much. And me being from Pittsburgh and back east, I try to explain and tell them about it. And, you know, it's fun for the city to have a major league team here. And, you know, I root for Vegas and I root for Fleury and Neal. And I hope that if they make it to the finals, I hope they beat the Caps.
All right, Ray. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening, my friend. Keep listening. Keep calling. All right. You know, this is a thing, too, that people, and you know, you were up in Winnipeg, and you know, I know people in Winnipeg. There are people out there that are genuinely upset at the fans for the Golden Knights saying, you know what? You don't deserve this. The fan bases for these Canadian teams, these long Canadian teams like Winnipeg, who lost their team years ago, gotta remember, they had to fight to get their team back in the NHL, and they're going like, hey, you guys don't deserve this. First year, you are experiencing this, and there are some people out there that say, you know what, you guys need to go through some growing pains first. So I know people in Las Vegas don't like to hear about that, but that sentiment is very accurate from these Canadian provinces.
Not from a lot of people I met, to be honest. Now, I did talk to a few people about the losing the team, and it's still a very sore subject for them. And you know, the one guy said, look, I really don't like to talk about it because it was such a painful experience. He said, but the weird thing is, I found myself rooting for Arizona because I knew Shane Doan. I knew Keith Tkachuk. I knew all those guys, Hobby Boulin. So, but, you know, the people up there, they I didn't encounter any of that sentiment from the Winnipeg fans. I didn't encounter one person who had an issue with Vegas or who said that, you know, they didn't deserve this. If anything, they were like, you know what, Vegas has more Canadian players than anyone else still playing. So if Vegas beats us, we want them to win because we want to have lost to the team with the most Canadians, and we also wanted to have lost to the team that wins the cup.
I think you were going to the wrong food places because
I went to the places I was told. Benowitz told me to try a jet dog. It was awesome.
I have talked to I'd say about a half a dozen people from up there who said that. And that's why I said it, because wow, this is a sentiment. And they go, oh no, this is definitely a sentiment. I get, obviously it depends on who you talk to and where you go, but that opinion is out there with some people.
Even the guy who was at Customs and Immigration in Calgary, when he found out we were from Vegas, he said, oh, I'm not rooting for loser peg. I'm rooting for Vegas.
Of course. Vegas is cool. Everybody loves Vegas. Yeah, it's cool. That's where you go on vacation. Come on.
Yeah. The people in Calgary are awesome as well.
All right. There you go. Go Stampeders, by the way. Right?
No, I like the Rough Riders. Yeah, I'm a Rough Riders. Saskatchewan.
Hey, tomorrow I'm getting my signed Saskatchewan Rough Riders jersey signed by the great Don, whatever his name is. I'm getting that tomorrow.
Wait, you don't know? You don't even know who's signing your jersey? No. And you're bragging about it?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not bragging about it, but you're talking about Rough Riders. I'm going to have a Rough Riders jersey tomorrow.
That's like me bragging about, yeah, you know, I don't
know who the guy is. So I watch Rough Rider games on television every week?
J.J. Walker does. J.J. Walker's a big CFL guy,
you don't
right?
have to tell me. He used to bet on him all the time. That's exactly.
I've heard the stories.
Yeah. I told you the stories. Yeah. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh. You don't maybe even know the Alouettes. How about the Alouettes?
What is an Alouette? You know what's funny? We went into a sporting goods store and they had CFL jerseys. It's cool. Blue Bombers. I like the jerseys.
Okay. I'll show you the picture of the jersey and the guy's name. I just can't pronounce it. That's all it is.
Come on. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. And yet you're going to put that up in your living room and be like, "Yeah, look, I got this Don
especially he's a Canadian Hall of Famer." Yeah, well, he's in the 80s, so he had to be a wide receiver. So I know that much. But no, what are you talking about?
Do they have the same rules as the NFL in terms of jersey numbers?
What are you talking about going to my living room? It's going on eBay. What are you talking about? Tracy Murray's going to come up next. We're going to talk NBA. Dave Filipovich, the Air Force coach, a little bit later on, talking about the big event coming Monday, Tuesday, in the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Classic. TC Martin Show right here on Fox. All right, NBA playoffs, no action tonight, no action tomorrow. I'm a little bit bummed with that. We got to wait till Saturday and Sunday. We bring in our guru, former NBA champ with the Rockets, and of course, the pride of UCLA, and I believe the only guy that I know that has his ringtone set to New Edition, Tracy Murray. Is that right, Tracy?
If it isn't love, New Edition.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, of all the jams, why that one?
I love New Edition, man. That's one of my favorite songs. Plus, I've been friends with him for over 20 years. So, especially Bell Biv DeVoe. I used to see them a lot on our campus.
Yep.
So, you know, it was and Bobby Brown. I hung out with him quite a bit. You know, and Mike Bibbins being on the basketball court a lot. Used to see him at Venice Beach on the court. So, you know, when you have that type of chemistry and you know each other over the years, why not have their music on your ringtone? You know, it's definitely one of the best R&B groups of all time.
Yeah,
and they connect today's music to old school music. If you look at where it changed and what groups are influential in both areas, it's New Edition.
I'm with you, man. No, I've worked with Bell Biv DeVoe on a couple of occasions, Bobby on, I think, one occasion, so I know what you're talking about. Give us a little high note for it. Is it love? Come on, let me hear you sing it, man. Come on.
Oh, no, I don't have singing talent. I know my lane. I stay in my lane. I'm taking a LeVar Ball's advice here. I'm staying in my lane.
See, and everyone forgets that without New Edition and Bell Biv DeVoe, there's no Boys to Men.
Very true.
Right. Right, there's no Boys to Men. Exactly.
There it is.
You know, I mean, and they are so talented, they probably would have gotten in another way, but the impact that they had at the beginning of their careers And I know them as well. And to, you know, for them to go on and be as legendary as they are, and even bigger, you know, than Belle Biv DeVoe as a smaller group, right underneath New Edition, you know, that was, and they come out of the same camp, you know, it was just awesome.
There it is. That's your old school flashback. We go to the early mid 90s with Tracy Murray, ladies and gentlemen. Tracy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
Hey, let's talk about one of your former teams, man. The Rockets, they put on the Warriors last night, 127-105. That's the Rockets we've been looking for here. Five of them in double figures last night, scoring at least 16 points or more. Harden only had 27. They seem to be a much better team like that, instead of when Harden goes for 42 and others aren't contributing. Would you agree with that?
They are. I agree. Everybody has to get touches. Everybody has to eat in order for the star to eat. If the star is the only one eating, then it results to a loss most of the time. If there are only two people being productive and the rest of the guys are standing around, it leads to a loss. If you look back to the Cleveland game with the Warriors the last game, LeBron and Kevin Love scored over 60 points between the two of them, and they still lost. So you have to look at these things, and this is the glaring sign. It's a team basketball game, and everybody has to be involved in order to win.
Golden State gets 38 from Durant, but really nothing from Curry and Thompson last night, 16 and 8 respectively. 3 for 12 from beyond the arc for Curry and Thompson. We've heard it, live by the three, die by the three, specifically for the Rockets, and that was their problem in game number one. How is this series going to unfold? Is it going to be one of these type of series where the team that hits the most threes are going to win? Because when I still look at these two teams and I see the way the Warriors share the ball together in comparison to the way Houston plays, I still favor the Warriors. But I got to admit, though, Houston played decently last night, and I kind of figured if Houston was going to show up, last night was the night. But I got to believe the Warriors win this series.
Well, the Warriors win the series, and Houston was desperate last night. They go down 0-2, they're getting swept. You know, there's no question about it. Going back to Oracle, they're going to get swept. So they had to win that game. The Golden State Warriors already got accomplished what they needed to get accomplished. That's winning one game and taking home court advantage. They got that accomplished already. So, you know, Houston had to win last night to put a little bit of pressure on the Warriors going back up to Oracle. And to let them know that, hey, we're still here. We're not dying. We're not giving up.
We saw some chippiness last night, actually the first two games, and aggression on both sides. Durant shoved Harden. Then we saw Draymond Green shove Harden a little bit, go to the throat with the forearm. Do you think that is wise, if you're the Warriors, to play with that type of style? I mean, do you really need to do that? Because we saw that hurt the Warriors when they blew that 3-1 lead 2 years ago to Cleveland, where Draymond Green got suspended for that game number 5. It seems like, you know, you don't need to go that route.
You don't. And Draymond is going to be Draymond. He's hard to control. He's very emotional. He's going to be who he is. But Durant has to keep his, you know, his poise and continue to do what he's doing on the court. You don't want that little stuff to, you know, a little BS there to derail him off of what he's already doing. You know, basketball, getting buckets, that's how you combat the chippiness and the dirtiness out there.
How many games does Houston win in the series?
One, maybe two.
Yeah, so maybe it ends in 5, possibly even 6. So
5, possibly 6, yes.
All right, Tracy Murray joined us. Let's talk about Boston-Cleveland. Game 3, we got to wait till Saturday. Boston took the first two games at home, 9-0 on their home court. And for Las Vegas fans here, 9-0 against a point spread too, Tracy. So they've just been dominating these games at home, still not getting a whole bunch of love from people. We saw Boston do this against Milwaukee, and then they got blown out in game number 3 in Milwaukee. They're totally a different team on the road. So what do you expect to see when this series resumes back in Cleveland on Saturday?
I expect it being a 2-2 series heading back to Boston.
Oh, wow.
Because of the fact of what you just said, Boston's not very good on the road, especially in the playoffs. They only went, what, 2 games on the road?
Right.
The whole playoffs. And you know, they're an outstanding team at home. The role players play excellent at home. When you're on the road, your stars have to carry you. and they don't have stars. They're a good team. Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. I think the young guys are emerging as stars, but they're not that superstar guy that's going to go give you 40 when everything else breaks down. There's no, they don't have that person. Those two guys are sitting on the bench injured right now. So, you know, they're doing an excellent job without those guys, and that's why they're winning at home, because all role players play better at home.
Let's talk about Brad Stevens for a bit. You know, when he came out of Butler, there was a lot of skepticism, like, oh, here's another college coach. How is he going to do it here? Especially in Boston, where they just bleed basketball, bleed green and white, and all the tradition. But Danny Ainge saw something in him and said, you know, we think this could work with this guy. And it hasn't for so many college coaches, and you know that better than anybody. Why has Brad Stevens worked in Boston, or would Brad Stevens work anywhere?
Well, you have to be strategic if you're a college coach of what team fits your style of coaching. You can't just say, here's an NBA opportunity and I'm going to take it. Because if you go to a veteran team and you're a college coach, it's not going to work. Because the veterans are not going to go out there and do what they used to do in college, because they already have too much mileage on their body from the NBA. So that's not going to work. You have to get pretty much a young team, and veterans that still have that hard-working work ethic that's going to push the youngsters into believing in what Brad Stevens is and continue to develop. And I think Boston was the perfect mix of hard-working veterans, really physical guys that buys into the defensive end, and then you add the young kids coming in that's already used to college.
You know, it didn't work for Patino and Calipari,
nope.
And those guys were a little bit older, and, you know, they had respect, obviously. Was it because they just went to teams that needed such major overhauls and weren't very good? Or why didn't it work for them, but it's working for a guy like Brad Stevens?
They went to teams where guys were already, you know, 5-6 years in. You know, the press that Patino was trying to do with Boston, you know, that's made for young guys. And I know a lot of those guys played on this team. That's why he went and got a lot of former Kentucky guys to run his system at that particular time. But, you know, it wore them out, and they didn't have enough to finish the game. So they only went so far in the playoffs, and they were only so successful.
All right, Tracy, great stuff as always, my friend. 2-2, you thinking that that's where this thing is going to land here in a few days. Who's going to win that series?
I have Boston winning the series. I still have Boston winning.
All right, so we're talking about, I said this yesterday too, Boston-Golden State in the final. I would love to see that.
You have the ultimate physical defense against an offense that constantly moves. You know, who's going to impose their will? And I think Golden State will. You know, they, one thing that Boston don't have that Golden State has is experience. They've been 1-2 out of 3, going for their third and four. So there's a mission there that Golden State's on. They're very focused at trying to achieve that. And then you have Boston, who's a young, up-and-coming juggernaut coming out of the East that's trying to prove, hey, we're here. We got here without our two stars, and you guys are going to have to deal with it.
All right. Looking forward to this series, definitely both series. Tracy, we'll talk to you hopefully next week. We'll talk some more as we see where these series are going to be going.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Get back to the new edition, brother.
Thank you.
Take care. There it is, Tracy Murray. Come on, Magnum. And is it love? I know you love that song, don't you? Man, new edition, strong. All those. Very, very strong. When we come back, Dave Filipovich. He's strong. Cancer strong. We talked to him about coaches versus cancer. That and a whole lot more coming your way. TC Martin Show on Fox. Glad to have you with us Thursday afternoon. Live from the CG Technology Studios, get the CG Technology mobile app at the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, the Cosmopolitan, the Silverton, the M Resort, or the Palms. The CG Technology mobile app, betting made easy, bet from your phone. Get signed up, and get ready to go so you can bet on your Golden Knights or anything that you would like to. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be at the Cosmopolitan. Come on out and join us as we get ready for game number 4. Early start time at T-Mobile Arena, 4 o'clock. Also, great event that is taking place starting Sunday and then Monday and Tuesday on the golf course at Shadow Ridge. It's the 11th annual Coaches versus Cancer, the Las Vegas Golf Classic. And to talk about that is the Air Force head basketball coach, Dave Filipovich. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking the time and joining us. And Dave, before we get into Coaches versus Cancer, I've seen you and your teams come through here to the Thomas and Mack Center before. And I got to say, your teams play hard, they play well, always a pleasure watching the Air Force program. And I know that a lot of people realize that it's not a real easy job, too, to take a job at one of the academies, but it seems to work out for you very, very well.
Well, thank you for the compliment. We got some great young men and women here as cadets at the academy, and they do things the right way for the most part, and obviously graduation next week, our seniors graduate and become officers in our United States Air Force. And it's challenging. We have some restrictions that we have to go by in our recruiting that most other universities in the country don't have. And it's challenging at times, but yet rewarding at the end results when you're producing leaders of our country.
You know, we've seen several coaches at all the academies, whether it's Air Force, Army, Navy, in various sports, where these coaches have actually stayed at these institutions. They've had opportunities to go to other schools, bigger programs. Why do you think that is that so many elect to stay?
You know, I think it's the quality of people that you're dealing with, not just the cadet athletes you're coaching, but the people that you're dealing with in administration and in the academic area. They're just solid people. They have great foundations, great leaders of character, and as I say, I like to stay as long as they keep me. You know, it's a great opportunity just to be around really unique individuals. They're so smart and they're so unique in their way of thinking. It's fun.
All right, this is going to mark the 25th anniversary of the Coaches versus Cancer program. Nationwide collaboration, obviously, with the American Cancer Society and the National Association of Basketball Coaches. The Las Vegas Classic has become a signature event. 11 years here, and I know that this, not just the event, but just Coaches versus Cancer is very close to your heart and your family.
It is. You know, we've been involved, my wife and I, with Coaches versus Cancer, you know, last 6 years, I believe, or seven, or how many it's been. And, it affects every family. And sometimes you think, well, no, it's not going to be me. But this past year really hit us hard. We lost my wife's mother last summer and my father last summer, both to cancer-related illnesses. And it's a struggle. When cancer hits your family, it just doesn't hit the victim and their suffering, but everyone involved. And it's so hard on the caretakers as well. And usually the end result's not going to be fine, and it's not going to get better. So going through that whole situation is really a challenge for families until you go through it. And usually every family has something that happens. You need the support groups and you need funding. And that's all things that we do with Coaches versus Cancer to help.
And I know you guys raise over $1 million just about every year in this tournament. And it's a fantastic cause. And a lot of the great coaches come out here. Listen to some of the guys that will be coming out here this weekend, early next week. Roy Williams, Dana Altman, Matt Painter from Purdue, Sean Miller, of course, Marvin Menzies takes place. I mean, it's just a laundry list. And, of course, Lon Kruger, who UNLV fans still love very, very much, who is a big driving force behind this as well, too. So of all those golfers, Dave, who are the better golfers?
You know, it's funny because there's some coaches are some very good golfers. Coach Williams is outstanding. Coach Altman's very good. Coach Kruger, although won't play as he's busy, and a great golfer. And I think the scores get better and better as they talk about it when they get off the course. But there are some very good golfers, and they are very competitive. And I think you started it off, but there's not a better person in our coaching profession than Coach Kruger. What an unbelievable coach, but an even better person he and his wife and his family. And what he has done is remarkable, and it is filtered off to myself and my wife, and we're doing things locally in our Colorado community to try to piggyback on what he has done. He is just an unbelievable person.
Talk about the money, because a lot, I think people need to know that this money stays in our community. The money that's raised here in Las Vegas goes to the local hospitals to buy equipment and goes to research, correct?
That is absolutely correct. So it helps the general community there, the Las Vegas community, and that's what a unique thing.
That's great, Dave. All right, Dave Filipovich, the head basketball coach at Air Force. He is going to be in town this weekend and in the golf event Monday, Tuesday at Shadow Ridge. Talk a little bit about that. I know it's a time for you guys to get out, have some fun, a little bit of a downtime for you guys, you know, right now, but it's very competitive between coaches, but this is something where you guys really come together and really have a blast.
You know, coaches are good people as well, and we're very competitive, but in the off season, there's so many friendships. There's so many staffs that family off to different other programs. There's so many connections through the years, and it's a great time to get together and share some stories, share some coaching advice, and just get an opportunity to visit, because the season lasts so long. We practice constantly, sometimes too much, and the season is long. We're a double semester season. There's the fall semester, the spring semester. And as you know, it's highly competitive with 30-plus games. So this is a unique time of the year before we hit the road and compete again in July in recruiting and before we start camps in June. So the May month is really good for us to do some fundraising and do some community work and also get a chance to visit with each other as coaches.
All right. Before we let you go, how are the Falcons going to be coming up this winter?
You know, excited about our Falcons. We're going to be young. We're only going to have one senior, but a great group of sophomores and freshmen who will rise to juniors and sophomores. And we had a workout this afternoon because we're in between semesters right now. And I really like this group. They're exciting. They're a little bit athletic. They can make some shots. And I think we'll be fun to watch.
Well, look forward to seeing you out here this weekend, of course. And then when you get back here, when we see Air Force compete against UNLV and, of course, during the Mountain West Conference tournament as well. And again, Dave, you do a fantastic job with those guys. Always a fun team to watch. I love the way you guys shoot the ball. You get up and down the court. And one thing, when Air Force is playing, you know that ball is going to be going up and down the court, and we'll see some high-scoring games.
It is, and we appreciate you guys having us on, and thanks so much. We love the Las Vegas community with Nellis Air Force Base, and a lot of our grads are out there stationed, so it's a big, big spot for us.
All right. Take care, Dave. Good luck.
Thank you, now.
There it is, Dave Filipovich, the coach at Air Force. And just like the football programs there, I mean, there's a lot of restrictions there, especially from the basketball side. And you don't see a whole bunch of success with Army or Navy and even Air Force for that matter. But he does a great job with the kids that he gets.
My radio career actually started in Colorado Springs. So Air Force is a school that I kind of follow a little bit. I like to see them do well, even, except when they're playing UNLV, of course. But I like the Air Force Academy. You love what they do there.
Well, you've always a fan of the triple option as well, too.
Well, you know, it was always cool to walk out the door on a Tuesday morning and head down the highway and see the cadets jumping out of an airplane like 3 minutes from your house. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
All right, I want to thank Dave Filipovich. Coaches versus Cancer Las Vegas Golf Classic taking place Monday and Tuesday at Shadow Ridge, raising a lot of money for our local hospitals here in the Valley. I want to thank Tracy Murray for joining us, former NBA champ, and of course, a pride of UCLA, talking NBA. And your phone calls today, appreciate that as well. JT the Brick is coming up next tomorrow. Come out, join us, Cosmopolitan. The show's at 3 o'clock. We'll preview the Preakness, justify a 1-2 favorite, and Vegas Golden Knights and Winnipeg Jets game 4. That's right. 3 o'clock. Come out and see us tomorrow at the Cosmopolitan. Have yourself a good one. Miss any part of the show? Go to tcmartinshow.com.